AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Eric, due to unforeseen circumstances, Jeff Stein will not be with us today, but Philip Byther is going to join us. He's the curator of performing arts over at the Walker. They are kicking off their season coming up here, and we're going to talk with him about this new season, which is just jam-packed, and some other things. That's coming up a little bit later on. Eric, are you going to be joining us on Thursday night over at the Park Tavern?
I will.
Yeah. It's good. It is a good time. We are doing we haven't had one in a while, but we're going to have a debate party over at the Park Tavern. It's a lot of fun. You get to go watch the latest round of debate, which is going to be one night this time. We don't have to do a two-night affair. It's a one-night gig. It's going to start at 7. I do believe they're expecting the debate to go about 3 hours. We're at the Park Tavern, and it costs $15 to get in. You join us. We are not only do we have great appetizers from the Park Tavern, they always roll out a nice little appetizer feast for us, which is always just great. They also, as well, we're going to have bingo going on during the debate, and we're coming up with some of the bingo categories. It's actually good fun here. We're going to have that's going to be a lot of fun, and a lot of prizes to go along with that, so you can enjoy that. There'll be drink specials with the Park Tavern, and also if you want to have dinner there, they'll have their full menu available to order in the 11th frame where we'll be at. So we'll look forward to seeing you out there. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we'll have a pair of tickets to give away to the debate. So make sure you're listening for your chance to win. This is tomorrow night. So if you can go tomorrow night, make sure you try to win. We'll give away those tickets a little bit later on. I am fascinated right now, Eric. My son is a senior. He is going to be graduating, but, you know, not my genetic line, clearly. But he's going to be graduating from high school here. He's going to head off to college. We are getting now peppered. My son is actually quite intelligent. He got a 33 on the ACT, which is a pretty good score.
Yeah.
He's got a really good GPA. And so he's looking around. He's thinking about the University of Minnesota School of Math and Science. He likes that idea. St. Thomas, you know, Catholic boy and myself, you know. Plus my wife's an alumna over there. My dad's an alum over at the University of Minnesota. I've steered him away from both the Brown College School of Broadcasting, my first alum, but also William Penn University in Iowa, go fight mad Quakers. No, I think you can move away. Nothing against William Penn. Fine school. Got my degree there. And yeah, in business. I know me. Crazy, man. But we are getting now inundated from colleges who are desperate to get my son to come there for some reason. And I don't know why. Mizzou sends us. They sent us a very nice catalog, which we just recycled, that is, very finely done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember that, just getting packets and packets.
Oh, gosh.
Like, okay, thanks, I'll throw this away for you.
Pacific Lutheran. Where is Pacific Lutheran University? We're not Lutherans, first of all. And I know in this day and age, I mean, just it's a name, you know. But unless it's that one weirdo college, Liberty. But it's when I say weirdo, I do mean weirdo. Anyway, but no, I think that's out in Washington State. But I think it's Eastern Washington State, so that means the crazy part of the state. You don't want to go anywhere in the eastern part of Oregon or Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are cray-cray people out there. The western parts, delightful. Delightful. I mean, that would be Oregon State is out there. I think Washington State are on the – I think you can get away from that there. But Rhode Island, University of Rhode Island, the Rams, all right? Why they're not called the Islanders, I don't know. Seriously, what the hell is wrong with you people? Do I have to do all this for you? Seriously. The Rhode Island Islanders, you know – or the Rhodes, man. Although that does sound like a Western college, you know.
You could say you're a Rhodes Scholar.
You know, Utah Methodist Presbyterian Rhodes. University of South Carolina's popped up because family's down there. But the University of South Carolina, Beaufort's like an acting school. It's got – every once in a while you'll see me wear a T-shirt that's got this really cool shark logo on it. And it's USCB, University of South Carolina, Beaufort. And it's like that is the greatest logo wasted on a school that's like only sports team is like a frisbee golf team, man. Seriously, you might as well just have a beret on the shark. And I would still buy it if it had a beret on the shark. I would even love it more if there was a beret on the shark. But no, we're not going to do that. I think it is – there is a bit of begging going on here with it. There is a bit of begging. And it'll be interesting. I think he's going to you. My dad, when he was a kid, he was like 10 years old. My dad started regaling him with the stories of Golden Gopher homecomings of yore back in the late 40s, early 50s. And, you know, my kid's eyes just got wide and excited. And, you know, when we went over to Kaufman one time, we were down in the basement. They actually had a display on homecomings of past. And he just couldn't stop looking at it. He just said, "Isn't this just the coolest?" And I said, you're going to be a Gopher, aren't you?
It's a very cool campus.
It is a very cool campus. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. It is 9/11. I have, in the 18 years since 9/11, I have been on the air. I've had to do this show about, I think it's 11 times. I've been on air when not just here, but in other radio lives where I've done a show. And it is cripplingly hard to wake up and remember that day, because I do remember that day. My wife and I, you know, we had just bought our house. And this is back when the internet was such a simple little thing, and before the days of social media pages, and it was mainly like you would get your news from this. And I remember listening to one of the radio stations in town, and they were talking about, you know, and just to let you know that one of the World Trade Center towers is on fire. Apparently, it sounds like a plane crashed into it, and you're like, wow, really? What? And I remember hearing a second plane just went into another one of the towers. And I remember just stopping everything and immediately going downstairs, turning on our TV and watching as the ugliness unfolded of the day. I remember calling my wife and seeing how she was doing. She was very pregnant with my son at this point. And so I remember being, you know, concerned, you know, with, you know, this. I was in shock. I called my dad, who they were living in Wayzata area, out in Woodland, actually. And my mom was traveling for business quite a bit. And indeed, she was out on the road when they basically grounded all planes in the United States, outside of the ones that took bin Laden's family back to Saudi Arabia. But that's a different story. When they grounded all the planes in the U.S., they had my mom was – I believe she was in North Carolina. And she was in North Carolina, and she was out, and she had to get back, and there was no planes and there's no flights. It was more of a case where it was she ended up renting a car, but because it was a corporate trip, because there was no rental cars. I don't know if you remember that, but you couldn't get a rental car either because all the rental cars were being used to get people back. People had, you know, kind of rented. So she ended up getting like a luxury car, a really high end car, and was able to drive like, you know, really fast down the highways to get back to Minnesota. This morning I was greeted, though, for the last about 10 years, the same exact way as I have been. Year after year after year, which is I'm greeted by a few messages from far rightos, asking if I'm going to celebrate because my friends attacked the United States 18 years ago. My friends did this. You know, conservatives that basically believe anyone who's not Caucasian white is all in on it. That it, you know, anyone, and if you vote Democrat, you were in on it too. That sort of thing. The other thing which was interesting this morning, and this is also something that is a recurring theme, is the individual who posts, "Come on, let's make sure we never make 9/11 political." And then you go look at their social media page, and they've already insisted, "Never forget that Bill Clinton caused 9/11 twice already this morning. Twice already this morning. And... you know, and I, when I pointed it out to them, they basically never responded back. But he's like, you know, it's the hypocrisy of it all. We need to keep it non-political. Just make sure we can bash on your side. But you can't say anything because we'll shame you for doing that, what we're doing ourselves, that sort of thing. And, of course, the undeniable conservative is like, when did we become so polarized? Well, it was actually 1994. Actually, if I can – let me explain exactly what happened. In 1992 – George H.W. lost. Now, it was an interesting little side note of that election is H.W. Bush and his campaign had actually gotten Whitewater, and there were more extreme elements of the Republican Party who were insisting to try to make more hay out of this against Clinton. And frantically, the Republicans were kind of on their heels. They didn't quite know it. Very similar to 2008, they didn't quite know what to do with Obama. They didn't quite know what to do with Clinton. He came out of nowhere to all of a sudden be the front runner, and they didn't really have a game plan to attack him. And so they decided in 1992, though, that Whitewater – it sounds like H.W. Bush's people had investigated it, found no wrongdoing in the land deal and just ignored it. Newt Gingrich and the contract with America, fueled by a very young Fox News, came up with a new mantra, which no Democrat had ever done anything right and no Republican had ever done anything wrong, and that became the core of who they were. And it became a case of you're evil, you're wrong, you're horrible. And I mean, I'll never forget those early years of this rise of this, the right of hate, and how the Democrats were very ill prepared for it and were very, very kind of like, okay, we're just going to try to do business like we usually were. But the more that they were, the Republicans and the far right were belligerent and demanding blood oaths and demanding, you know, pounds of flesh from the Democrats on everything, the more coverage they would get on Fox News. And as Fox News became a bigger and bigger network, the more that their supporters, it basically became a vicious circle feeding on itself. And Bill Clinton, you know, they opened up that Whitewater investigation, and they eventually got him not on land deal, but lying about having sex with Monica Lewinsky while in office. And yes, he did some bad things, and it fueled them. But I'll never forget when it morphed after 9/11, I'm not talking about after 9/11. I'm talking the morning of 9/11. I don't know if you remember the amount of Republicans who went on to television and were screaming, "This is Bill Clinton's fault. It's all Bill Clinton's fault. It's Bill Clinton's fault." And it wasn't until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon when everyone was realizing we're all just in shock as a nation, that people are not looking to point fingers. We're looking for unification, that the same people who had been screaming for 6 hours, "Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton," all of a sudden said, "It was Bill Clinton's fault, but let's not talk about that now." They said this, by the way. What we didn't know at that point was they said this, even though when Bill Clinton left office, he handed files to the W. Bush administration saying, "Look at this guy. This guy is the bad guy. He wants to strike in the United States." Condoleezza Rice clearly had everything on her desk at some point that year that pointed to this. And it actually talked about planes being used as missiles against buildings and targets. You had George W. Bush going on a vacation for the entire month of August with Ari Fleischer sitting there and saying, "We have complete control of this government. We have complete control. And henceforth, we are in power. We have got complete control." And you have a briefing 2 weeks before the attack saying bin Laden determined a strike in the United States. We didn't know any of that at that time. And yet those Republicans did. They did. And they started screaming, "Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton." The same Republicans who screamed it was Bill Clinton's fault when the first World Trade Center attack happened mere weeks into his term. And they said, "Well, the second he takes office, that's his car now. He's got the keys. That's his deal. You can't look at H.W. Bush for any failures." The same people, "Well, it's been 9 months, and yeah, we said we had complete control, but it clearly was his fault." That's when I started walking away from any thinking I'd ever vote Republican again, because I said, if you guys are going to politicize this, and they did. And they did over and over and over and over again. And they vilified Democrats who didn't go along with them as consoling the enemy. They constantly threatened. And it gave birth to Dick Cheney and the evilness, which eventually morphed into Sarah Palin, which eventually morphed into Donald Trump. And here we are today. You want to know when this country became polarized? You go back in a time machine to the campaign of 1994, Newt Gingrich's contract with America. That's when it happened. But 9/11 was an opportunity for Republicans to mainstream their politicization of this country, and they did it with vigor and eagerness, which has not been seen ever. It was never, you know, Pearl Harbor, stuff like that. It never in the past in this country did you ever see stuff like this happen. But it happened then. So if you want to be a Republican and you want to sit there and say, how did we become so divided? Just look in the mirror. And just because you were the ones that were screaming at other people and the Democrats hadn't wised up to start screaming back in your face yet doesn't mean that it wasn't politicized at that point. All right? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. A few stories here that are just unbelievably mind-numbing. Mind-freaking-numbing. I'll come back and talk about them in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Hi, Matt McNeil inviting you to join AM 950 Radio on Thursday night as we host a Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come view the spectacle from Houston with like-minded progressives. We'll have bingo, great prizes, delicious appetizers from the Park Tavern as part of your admission, and drink specials too. Tickets are $15 and you can get them at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Doors open at 6:30, debate at 7 Thursday night. It's the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. See you there.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in friendly Crystal. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. By the way, a flash flood watch is in effect until 7 p.m. tomorrow night for Hennepin County. So FYI, flash flood watch in effect till 7 p.m. tomorrow night in Hennepin County. 952-946-6205. Now, I want to start off really quick with the special election in North Carolina. In that race here, because there was immediately this morning a bunch of Republicans who jumped up and said, gee, the blue wave is over. Before you get all upset about this, this was not exactly a slam dunk win. Trump this morning was like, Bishop was down 17 points 3 weeks ago. There was no poll in where the Republican Bishop was down. There was no poll. As a matter of fact, he had been leading by double digits until recently when that race became a toss-up. So that was just a lie. He was at no point was he behind, and this was a comeback. He was always in the lead, and he barely pulled this off. This is a district Trump won by 12, a district which is a plus 14 R. That is a far right district. Trump had to go there and personally beg for this guy to win, and a cash advantage of millions, millions and millions of dollars more for the Republicans than the Democrats, and they won by 2. So do not look at – this is a case where – and in that district, there are some suburban areas in that district. In the suburban areas, Trump got destroyed. And this is before any kind of major recession or the farming crisis strikes in, and it's going to strike bad next year. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. That wasn't a win in any capacity for the Republicans. So three crazy stories that I want to touch on before we get to Philip Byther here. The White House was directly involved with pressing for federal scientific agency to repudiate the weather forecasters who contradicted Trump's claim that Hurricane Dorian would probably strike Alabama, according to several people familiar with the events. Mike Mulvaney, the acting White House chief of staff. This is about Trump misstating a hurricane was going to hit Alabama and the lengths that this White House is going through to basically try to make that reality is unbelievable. Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff, told Wilbur Ross, the commerce secretary, to have the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration publicly disavow the forecaster's position that Alabama was not at risk. NOAA, which is part of the Commerce Department, issued an unsigned statement last Friday in response to saying that the Birmingham, Alabama office was wrong to dispute the president's warning. In pressing NOAA's acting administrator to take action, Ross warned that top employees at the agency could be fired if the situation was not addressed. So they threatened to fire the weather forecasters for not changing the weather to Trump's demands. The Times, New York Times previously reported Ross spokesman had denied that he threatened to fire anyone, and a senior administration official on Wednesday said Mulvaney did not tell the Commerce Secretary to make such a threat. The release of the NOAA statement provoked complaints that the Trump administration was improperly intervening in the professional weather forecasting system to justify the president's mistaken assertion. That's nuts, man. That is insane. This is the White House. This is the chief of staff telling the Commerce Department to threaten to fire, and let's just call it what it is. That's exactly what it is. We will fire you unless you tell the truth, and believe, and that truth better back up what he said. That's exactly who these people are. This is the chief of staff of the White House ordering the Commerce Secretary to threaten to fire weather forecasters for forecasting the weather correctly. For forecasting the weather correctly. Wow, that is insane. It is insanity. That is insanity. An unbelievable note from today. North Carolina Republican lawmakers abruptly voted Wednesday morning to override Democratic Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a state budget, sparking chaos in the chamber by bypassing Democratic lawmakers. The latest in a series of obstructionist moves by Republicans in the state. Dozens of Democratic state House representatives weren't present for the vote, according to the Associated Press. Republican leadership had told them they were not going to be any votes until Wednesday afternoon. So I want to make sure we understand what exactly happened here. The Republicans, the Christian right Republicans, purposely and intentionally lied to the Democrats on 9/11, telling them we're not going to have any votes till this afternoon. And while many of the Democrats were at 9/11 commemoration ceremonies, they quickly they snuck in there and called for a vote on a veto override of the governor's bill. And they did this. They used 9/11 ceremonies as cover to try to do this, as they lied themselves. It is unbelievable. These people, and I get it. You're a Republican. You're like, get him. I get it. You're also horrible human beings. And by the way, you're fake Christians. You are. There's no way in the world you would lie to someone on 9/11 purposely and still be Christian. It's just not. There's just, you can't, you give up the ghost. But the reality is, think about this. If the Democrats would have ever tried anything like this, there would be calls for mass resignations. You disgusting human beings to use 9/11, the tragedy of 9/11, to cover for a political party vote to try to override a veto. Wow. And by the way, the coverage of the Democrats is livid. The governor's office said many of the Democrats were at a 9/11 memorial when the vote occurred. Wow. The final thing I want to mention here before we get into the interview here is a quick little blurb. Now, I have been talking about the fact that the media in this country just treats Democrats differently than they treat Republicans. And we've talked about it here over and over again, over and over and over again. And it just, it sometimes it's a head scratcher and you just kind of, what's going on? Nancy Pelosi, a reporter, and I believe this reporter was the San Francisco Chronicle. I believe it's the Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle, asked Nancy Pelosi, if do you have any regrets about not bringing the House back in August to keep the flame lit on gun violence? Now, reminder, the House has already passed a gun violence bill. They have given it to the Senate, and the Senate is refusing to act on it. So the San Francisco Chronicle's reporter, if it is the San Francisco Chronicle's reporter, is actually not going to Mitch McConnell and asking him why you're not having this vote. Instead, she's going to Nancy Pelosi and acting as if she's the problem because she's not, I guess, in the House of Representatives wagging her finger constantly at the Senate. And that unless they're all the Democrats are in there doing that, yelling shame, 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 24/7, 365, that it's the Democrats' fault that the Senate Republicans refuse to even bring the bill up for a vote in the Senate. That's insanity. And if, by the way, when Nancy Pelosi points out the fact that, well, Mitch McConnell's got the bill, how does the media report this? Well, Nancy Pelosi says Mitch McConnell's the one that's the big problem. No, the problem here is why are you even asking Nancy Pelosi? She's already done her job. The Democrats did their job. They passed a gun bill. They sent it up to the Senate. They have not done their job. The next question is Republicans in the Senate being asked why you're not addressing this issue. Dear Lord. You know, and like I said, I don't want to be the guy that's squeaking about this stuff because I think it, you know, there is a little bit of patheticness to it. It really is. But at the same time, when you see such brazen bias in a news media, why aren't you guys in there still putting the pressure on the Senate, huh? What are you even asking at this point? Seriously, what are you even asking at this point? What are you even asking? You are so broken. And by the way, the San Francisco Chronicle, it sounds like they are feeling, we were so justified in asking her that question. It's pathetic. And it is. I mean, your question should be going to Mitch McConnell. And maybe, just maybe, if you guys hounded the Republicans one-tenth as much as you hound the Democrats, maybe we'd have a gun bill that gets passed out of the Congress. God forbid. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, Philip Byther is going to join us, and we'll talk about the opening of the new season, the performing arts season at the Walker when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's clearance time at Rudy Luther. The 2019s not only feature low clearance pricing, but most vehicles have huge factory rebates from Toyota as well. The Toyota Highlander is sensational with premium interior, room for up to 8, 5 USB ports, and a powerful design. Right now, get either $3,000 cash back or 0% financing for 60 months on the Highlander, but you need to go see them before they're all gone. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
AM 950 is hosting a debate watching party on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come watch with like-minded progressives as the Democratic presidential candidates debate all the important issues and figure out how to beat Trump. Doors will open a half hour before the start of the debate. Your ticket includes free, debatable appetizers with a cash bar. We'll play a debate-themed Blue No Matter Who bingo with lots of great prizes. Matt McNeil and the Repartee crew will be there. And if you have ideas for our weekly Tuesday Solution show, we'd love to hear them. Debate watching tickets are only $15 and they will go fast, so make sure you order now at am950radio.com. So let's watch the debate together on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park as we figure out who will dump Trump in 2020. Order your tickets now at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And if you have any questions, call us at 952-946-8885.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, showers expected throughout the afternoon with a high near 67. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low around 63. Thursday, thunderstorms continue with a high near 75 and a low around 56. Friday will be mostly cloudy with a high near 64 and a low around 51.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte. Cafe Latte is a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soup. Plus, their bakery specializes in fresh breads and desserts. Check them out at the intersection of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
A reminder here coming up tomorrow night, of course, is the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern. We've got two pairs of tickets to give away, actually. Two pairs of tickets today to give away to that coming up here in just a little bit. Listen for your chance to call in and win right here on AM 950. 952-946-6205. Philip Byther is the Walker Arts Center Senior Curator of Performing Arts since April of 97, overseeing one of the country's leading contemporary performance arts programs. He has been on the air with us a few different times. The Walker is getting ready to kick off their new season of the performing arts, and he's kind enough today to talk to us, to join us to talk a little bit about the beginning of the season. Hi, Philip. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Matt. It's great to be back with you.
Am I crazy? I was looking at your full season. This season is just huge. Is this the biggest performance art season you guys ever put on?
I wish, but it's about average to the size of a season. You know, we just do a wide range of really contemporary music and theatrical work and dance from all over the world.
And you've got your first opening up here. And it's an interesting sounding group. It's the Nature Theater out of Oklahoma and ENKNAP group, Pursuit of Happiness, correct?
That's right.
All right.
And they are placing these Eastern European dancers like trapped in a classic Western Hollywood Western movie to explore the notions of what's promised in our Declaration of Independence, that we can pursue happiness to whatever ends we end up finding. And it really is a hilarious but at the same time dark critique of American machismo, American hubris, and American damage, really, that is caused both within and exterior in terms of outside of our own country. But at the same token, they somehow walk a line between hilarity and horror in a certain kind of way. And, you know, it's a dance theater production that is, absurd and over the top. And the New York Times called it the wildest thing you'll see in theater all year long. It only had two shows in New York last year. So I saw it, and I just talked these guys into coming back from Slovenia. The two artistic directors are American, and they place this kind of critique of American culture, America today. Really, it was designed as Trump was about to be elected president, and to ask questions about what does it mean to pursue happiness.
It's interesting to bring this up because the real truth about history, whether you're looking at it, the way you described it, hilarity and horror. When you look at history, that is what history is. America is a great country, but we do have the dark stains of slavery, what we did to the Native Americans, what we did to the Asian Americans, that these are parts of our real history that we have to acknowledge and accept as we can also look at the positive things that the United States has done. And that is part of the American dream. And it seems as if I remember someone saying when Trump got elected, he says, get ready because the art in this country is going to go crazy. It really has seemed to do that. I mean, we're really talking about a reflection on the American dream here, and as you talk about, with hilarity and horror.
Yeah, and you know, in some ways, it really starts with a kind of joy, a sort of acknowledgement and an embrace of the fact that, you know, it was a bold thing for our founders to say that part of our makeup is going to be allowing people to pursue happiness. It's just, where does that sometimes lead us? And, you know, I think in some ways this is a production that's both in love with America and the mythologies that define it, as well as, you know, highly critical of some of the things that have come down in the name of America.
It brings up an interesting point. I was out at historic Fort Snelling when it was open this summer. And one of the things that they have done is that they have tried to make point of that, the fact that there was actually a lot of slavery at Fort Snelling, that the Southern officers were allowed to bring slaves from the South up here, and they were here. And it's not something that they've talked about a lot before. And of course, they got a lot of, from various politicians and such, a lot of pushback because how dare they bring up the bad things. Do you get a lot of pushback when you bring out something like this? Is it something where you do get pushback on this because people don't want to see the ugliness of the true America? They just want to believe the dream, the shiny object in the mirror.
I think there's a chance it will spark some conversation, if not controversy. Our mission at the Walker, as a place that follows artists and sort of reflects current creative energies of makers of visual art and dance, theater, you know, film, is to sort of allow the artists to be reflective and critical of things that they are seeing that maybe all of us who are working day jobs and full out, you know, don't get a chance to reflect on or absorb as much. Many times I feel like the artist's job is to have the space and time to absorb and then reflect on and create work that is of the moment, that it can actually wake us up a bit about things that we may not see right in front of our eyes. That's not to say that a lot of this work is hyper didactic. I think, you know, we choose work that is both of really high artistic quality, is very layered, but at the same time, there's many issues, political, environmental, and beyond, that are driving artists today, and they're approaching them in lots of different ways. And so if people think they're going to come and just see a kind of speech about issues, this is far from that. It's a kind of in artistic refraction of some of the issues we're dealing with as a country.
It's interesting. You said it showed in New York, and it's going to show at the Walker. Are these the only U.S. showings they're having?
No, there's one other organization that's working with us from Philadelphia, the Philly Fringe Arts Festival. Mm-hmm. And so it's come all the way from Ljubljana to Minneapolis, and then we'll run here for two shows and then go on to Philadelphia for three shows.
One of the things I find interesting is you talk about, you know, and you talk about Americans being involved as the heads of this troop. But one of the things I find it's interesting, when I was stationed in the military overseas, the Europeans' mentality and the view of the United States is very interesting to observe. And many of the times it's just, we hate America, you know, we hate you guys, sort of things.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it really is, I think, impressive when you can get someone who does seem to understand the layers of America, because you, from what you're describing here, you can't do this unless you understand the layers, the complexity, the sophistication that is America, so that you can dissect it correctly. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, I sometimes get irritated when I travel to Europe a fair amount to see work or other parts of the world, and just a sort of single-dimensional anti-Americanism, I'm often find myself defending all the good things about the country and the people who live here and the diversity of opinion. But I do think that our impact, not just politically, but also culturally in the world, you know, if this form is a classic American Western, that's had a huge impact, for good or bad, on the psyche of Europe and the world. And so I think that, you know, by these dancers drawn from all over Europe and this company based in Slovenia, they're kind of odd take on this form of a Western, and then with a play that's so crazy and outrageous, written by these American artistic directors, one of whom was born in Czechoslovakia, is really brilliantly done, and you feel this kind of world of both American and European coming together to reflect on these questions in a way that is just so surprisingly funny and dark simultaneously.
The Pursuit of Happiness takes place Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock. Tickets in the McGuire Theater, correct?
That's absolutely right.
All right. And tickets are $28, and for members, there's a discount there. I'm a member, by the way. You should become a member of The Walker. It is absolutely, in my mind, probably the greatest museum outside of a Smithsonian or MoMA. I love that museum down to my core, and it is just brilliant, the fact that it's in town. So you should become a member and take advantage of this. This is the beginning of the season. You got a lot of programs coming up here after this, correct?
Yeah, we've got 21 different engagements. They're drawn from artists from the Twin Cities all the way from around the world. And many of the pieces are commissioned by the Walker. And if not, they're one of a few exclusive engagements in the country. One of the projects musically that I'm very excited about is one of the hottest young jazz musicians doing a whole evening suite that we've commissioned called In These Times. He's from Chicago. He's working with a crack band of 20 and 30 something musicians, and they're reflecting on civil rights and the black struggle in America in general, and they're doing it through music and video.
And that's Micaiah McCraven, right?
That's Micaiah. I should have mentioned, Micaiah McCraven, with our great local collective Astral Black opening. And that's going to have its world premiere here, and then the next stop is in January at the Symphony Hall in Chicago, where it's playing in a 2,000-seat theater.
Well, and once again, it's just not only are you talking about an issue which needs to be discussed, you're also doing it in a format which it not only is relatable for the audience, but it gives a lot of freedom for the artist when you're talking about jazz. And this is, by the way, I should mention, it's going to be October 18th is when this show is.
That's right. It's just one night. It's a Friday night, two shows. And, I really think we've done a number of projects with jazz. Some people say, isn't jazz an older style? Isn't it dead? But actually, there's a whole new generation of young musicians. Sometimes they don't even use the term jazz, but they're mixing hip-hop, jazz, R&B, elements of classical, even electronics, and they're making a cool new sound. And Micaiah's following is, really young, and they don't necessarily think of themselves as jazz fans. So we're really thrilled to introduce him with this big project to the Twin Cities.
All right. So once again, and these shows are getting going here as the season gets going. The show tonight, this weekend. The tickets are available through the box office.
Yes, definitely. The Walker website and the box office, and there's still we've got good houses right now, but there's still some tickets available for both shows. And I think people will find it to be a wild ride, as they say. I think it's going to be, we're going to get a lot of interesting conversation sparked, and I think people will be really knocked out by the artistry of this company and of Nature Theater.
Nature Theater of Oklahoma and NCAP Group. This is Pursuit of Happiness. This is on Friday, Saturday, the full season, including the other shows we mentioned. You can find those at the Walker website, correct?
That's right, definitely.
Philip, and always a pleasure. I'm actually going to try to go catch this, The Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh.
This sounds phenomenal.
Oh, that's great. Well, you'll definitely have to give me a call and let me know what you think. After every show at the Walker, pretty much, we invite the artists to the bar right outside the Walker, and they all come, and we invite the entire audience to come and meet them and talk with the artists about the work. So you'll have to join us for that if you come for it.
I will try my best. Philip Byther, once again, the curator of performing arts over there. The performing arts seasons at the Walker kicks off this weekend. Philip, by all means, you come back anytime, my friend.
All right, Matt. Thanks so much.
Take care. We'll take a break. We'll spotlight that interview, okay? But before we do, let's give away some tickets, shall we? Here, Eric, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Callers 4 and callers 5. If you can join us tomorrow night for the debate watching party at the Park Tavern, we'd love for you to win some tickets for it. It'll be a freebie for you. Callers 4, caller 5. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Get guaranteed appliance savings from Minnesota's own Warner Stallion. Here's our winning lineup. Warner Stallion sells more brands than anyone. Their specialists help you choose what's best for you, easy and fun, and the savings, they're guaranteed. Then save more with Warner Stellion's trusted, fast, free delivery, professional installation, and free haulaway. Join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners. Choose Warner Stellion to be your appliance specialist before September 11th for unbeatable appliance savings. Warner Stellion.
Hi, Matt McNeil inviting you to join AM 950 Radio on Thursday night as we host a Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come view the spectacle from Houston with like-minded progressives. We'll have bingo, great prizes, delicious appetizers from the Park Tavern as part of your admission, and drink specials too. Tickets are $15 and you can get them at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Doors open at 6:30, debate at 7 Thursday night. It's the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. See you there.
Robert Mueller and national security agencies warn that foreign governments will engage in massive election hacking in 2020, and the state's election systems are wide open. Mitch McConnell is blocking legislation that would secure our election systems. 25 to 30 nationwide protests are scheduled around the country on the Secure Our Vote Day of Action, September 17th. We need you to join us Tuesday, September 17th at noon in front of Senator Amy Klobuchar's office building. A representative from Senator Klobuchar's office and an expert on election system vulnerabilities will speak. Even though Minnesota's election system is relatively secure, no election system is unhackable, and other states are not prepared. Experts say we only have a few months to get these funds released in time for states to complete upgrades by the 2020 election. We must act now. So let's protest and send Moscow Mitch a message on Tuesday, September 17th at noon in front of Senator Klobuchar's office building. It's located at 1200 South Washington Avenue in Minneapolis to demand secure elections. More details at secureourvote.us.
Eric, when you get a chance here, you can mention to us the names of the winners of the tickets here for the debate party that is coming up here. 952-946-6205 is for regular phone callers. Now, we do have both winners for the tickets, so thank you very much. We'll actually have a pair of tickets tomorrow, so if you did not win today, you are more than welcome to call back tomorrow. You'll get those at the door, and we'll see you at the debate party coming up here on Thursday night. 6:30 doors open, 7 o'clock the debate starts here. Who do we have?
We have Joel and Matt. Were the two winners.
Joel,
both from Minneapolis.
Both from Minneapolis and Matt from Minneapolis. There you go. There you go. Enjoy. And we'll, like I said, we'll have another pair of tickets to give away tomorrow. 952-946-6205. A suspect is in custody after multiple people were stabbed at a workplace in an industrial park in Tallahassee, Florida, on Wednesday morning. Police said the police responded to a report of a stabbing at Dyke Industries around 8:30 a.m. and discovered numerous victims. A police spokesman told Huffington Post the victims were provided immediate medical attention. Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare said a statement that it has received five people from the incident. It was evaluating their conditions. The hospital initially reported receiving six. One patient is in serious condition. Two patients are in fair condition, and two patients are in good condition, the hospital spokesman told the Huffington Post. All five patients are expected to survive. It's a tragedy when we lose six more people, or five more people, actually, I should say. Five more people they lost to knife violence, which, once again, the gun person always insists is just as bad as gun violence. And here we are, a knifing, stabbing going on, and we have all these people, like with a gun massacre, are, well, no, they're all alive. Now, I don't want to make light of this, and I don't, because these people are obviously going to deal with a lot of emotional trauma, psychological damage. They are going to have to deal with the physical scars of this, and, you know, hopefully that, you know, their health is not damaged forever. But when these pro-gun kooks going out there and say, yeah, but knives and axes and pipes and sledgehammers. No one's doing a mass sledgehammering where everyone's dead. I don't know what Rob Zombie movie you think you're watching, but that doesn't exist, okay? And here is a case where an individual stabbed five people, and they're all expected to survive. And it is a tragedy, and there should be prosecutions, and that this person should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Absolutely. And definitely, all my thoughts and prayers with these individuals. But they're not dead. If this was a gun, most of these people would probably be dead. If this was a gun,
most of these people would probably be dead. Heck, we'd probably have another 20 victims if it was a gun. We have to understand that we are dealing with a level of irrational thought when we deal with gun kook, because they truly do believe. And once again, I think the two mass shootings we just had in West Texas, freaking West Texas, where guns are everywhere. You go into the store and there are guns on the wall. You see every car has got a gun in it. Everyone walking down the street has got a gun on them. And yet these mass shootings happened. And did these people, the good guys with the guns, stop them? No. And if you're not going to be able to do it in West Texas, if you're going to have these mass shootings there, then these guns are pointless at keeping you safe. They are pointless at keeping you safe. New poll. This was released by public television. This is, what do Americans support? What do Americans support? Increased mental health funding. 89% of Americans think that that should pass. Require background checks for private and gun show sales. So no longer can you sell to Uncle Cletus your gun. No longer can you go through interstate laws and go get a gun out of a gun show in a different state. Nope. 83% of us, 83% of us want that to be a law, that you cannot get a gun without a background check. A national red flag law, flagging anyone that shouldn't have a gun, 72% of us want that. 72% require a license before gun purchase. Almost three quarters of Americans want people to have a license before they can get a gun. Ban the sale of high-capacity magazines, 61% want that. Ban the sale of semi-automatic weapons, 57% of Americans want that. Create a mandatory assault weapon buyback program, now you at least get into a 50-50 draw. 45% think that should be, 46% don't think it should be. But allow school teachers to carry guns, only 37% of Americans think that's a good idea. Do not mistake the real world. The real world wants gun control. This NRA far right wing fueled mantra is coming from a fringe portion of America, an extremist portion. And no one is talking about taking all the guns away, but getting the assault weapons off the street, creating mandatory background checks for any gun sale. And no, you shouldn't be allowing your cousin to borrow a gun. A national red flag law, a license before you can purchase a gun. People are for common sense gun regulations. Do you know who's not? The Republicans, including Cal Barr, who early this year, when the mere suggestion of these things were brought up, said that the Democrats writing the bills should be thrown to the curb, stomped on, and run over a few times. They have been paid to be zealots, and they gleefully jam the cash into their pockets as they scream insanity into the air. But the reality is this. It's the gun, stupid. The guns are what's causing the massacres. No, a knife will not kill people like as quickly and as thoroughly as guns do. So we need to regulate the guns. Never forget 9/11. Never forget. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.